Tuesday, December 27th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, last week, the Christian Post and Christian Headlines both reported that the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has unanimously ruled in favor of a Connecticut Athletics Association policy allowing biological males identifying as females to play in girls' sports. A three-judge panel ruled that the Connecticut Interscholastical Athletic Conference and the Connecticut Association of Schools can have a policy allowing transgender girls to participate in girls' sports. Four biological female high school athletes sued the conference and association over the policy. Obama-appointed Circuit Judge Denny Chin authored the panel opinion. Chin asserted that the lawsuit was mootless because the girls have already graduated from high school and are therefore no longer affected by the policy. Alliance Defending Freedom, the legal nonprofit that represented the four athletes, denounced the ruling and noted that it was looking into further options. However, Elena Bildner, the ACLU Foundation of Connecticut senior staff attorney, said in a statement, "Trans student athletes belong on our sports teams and in our schools, and all trans youth should be celebrated and protected for who they are."
Well, isn't that actually the question? Who are they? Are they trans women? Or are they men with gender dysphoria, or men who are now able to secure accolades, titles, championships because of an unfair competitive field due to the scientific reality that male and female bodies are not comparable in terms of physiology? You and I were preparing for the program, and I was listening to your explanations of the ruling. The foundational issue was, we're going to let the policy stand because the people who have brought the suit have now graduated. Thus, the case is mootless, meaning without standing. The case is no longer relevant because the students declared harm is no longer an issue since they've graduated. My initial thought was, from a Christian world and life view, you look at issues and you're able to determine past, present, and future consequences because of the stability of working from truth in order to look at consequences. Truth to consequences. They look back and say, well, the consequences are past, so there's no need to evaluate the truth of the claim of the students. Well, the reality is, there are more students that are now in place under this policy and more students to come. And the second reality is, in the court system, you can just easily tie up a case until the students graduate, and then guess what? It's now mootless again. But the ACLU comment actually brings more reality than the judicial ruling. And that ruling is, we declare that this policy protects students in terms of who they are. Well, that is actually the core of the issue. Who are they? When a biological male goes onto the playing field saying that he is inside a woman, the reality is, biologically, he's a male, and that presents an unfair competition, which is, in fact, a violation of Title IX, which is supposed to protect the sex of the individual. Now you are defining sex in terms of someone's declared identity, not the scientific reality that biologically they are a male or biologically they are a female. Instead of a court that looks at the facts and the truth, you have a court that was looking for a reason to uphold a decision that they had already made. What can we find to say that would allow us to make the decision that we want to make? Because we are not working on the basis of the Constitution. We are working on the basis of making the Constitution say what we want it to say. In other words, they are not acting as arbiters. They are acting as activists with the judicial panel that heard this case. It's not simply the insanity of the event, biological males competing with females and calling that equality. It is the insanity of declaring that as normal, declaring that as acceptable. You have to commit intellectual suicide. From a Christian world and life view, Christians, the Bible never tells you to check your brains out when you declare ethical absolutes. The ethical absolutes make sense. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't lie. They all make sense. But now what we see is a culture of insanity that not only is promoting policy insanity, it is the absolute drive to do whatever has to be done, even in a court system that is supposed to work on the basis of rationality and evidence. For what purpose? The insanity of calling the abnormal normal.
Harry, let me give you just a glimmer of sanity, which comes out of South Dakota. Last week, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem announced the retirement of her state health secretary after reports broke that the state health department contracted with a transgender advocacy group that is partaking in a gender summit next month. Kristi Noem immediately terminated the contract with the Transformation Project. South Dakota does not support this organization's efforts, and our state government should not be participating in them. Noem said in a statement, "We should not be dividing our youth with radical ideologies. We should treat every single individual equally as a human being."
Exactly. So there is a glimmer of sanity. That's a great way to present it, Tom. She has identified the movement of transgenderism. Now we have a radical ideology that says, don't believe your lying eyes. When a child's born, they may look like a male bodily and look like a female bodily, but inside the male may be a female. Inside the female may be a male. And you have grown judges, educated individuals who have gone down the rabbit hole of insanity and absurdity. And then this governor makes a statement that finally gives a glimmer of hope of sanity. Listen to what she said. We are not going to subject our children to this radical ideology. And that's what it is. Radical, insane, absurd ideology. An ideology that is marked by insanity, absurdity, leads to lethality, all because of the glorification of immorality, that my being is determined by my gender desires and behavior, instead of the reality, simply this: God made them in His image, male and female. An entire civilization has been built on that. And in the progressive secular movement to deconstruct that civilization, we embrace a culture of insanity and absurdity that consequentially leads to lethality, and that normalizes immorality in the name of one's sexuality and behavior. Boy, I just want to say to everyone, hey, would you like to return to sanity? Here it is. There is a God who created you, male and female. There is a God who can save you from the nature of rebellion, the sin nature of rebellion against Him. He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you a new record. The same God that made you has made a way to save you through His Son, Jesus Christ, and who will send the Holy Spirit to increase your ability to live according to the sanity and normalcy of God's Word in a relationship with Him and in a relationship with others who are made in His image that demonstrates love, respect, and patience. One of the great things is you can now have a life that doesn't ignore truth or fabricate something to replace truth. You can live with truth, and truth sets you free. Then you can speak the truth in love to one another.
As we close out for today, let me inform our audience that for the remainder of the week, we're going to be doing something special. This is a holiday week between Christmas and New Year's. Therefore, we're going to take the next 3 days and bring to you the Ask the Pastor feature. We've been inundated with a lot of great questions, so we're going to spend the next 3 days answering your questions. Write to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Do stop by again tomorrow, Wednesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.